What's up, dogs? It's the great one himself, Cynical Libertarian Society, CYNLIBSOC.com on the internet. Email address is God, that's dog spelled backwards, God at CYNLIBSOC.com. I'm predicting a fairly mellow edition of Stating the Obvious today. I just don't really feel like screaming and hollering. And I have a few serious-ish things to talk about. I mean, everything I talk about is serious in some sense. But sometimes you just have to have a little, like, just heart-to-heart discussion. And, you know, turn off all of the screeching and yelling, fuck you, and all that other shit. And sometimes I do that. Sometimes I try to mellow out. Just be a little more serious in what I'm talking about. It's not my normal shtick, of course. My normal shtick is that it's the third possibility, you are wrong, and I am right. And I am still the great one himself. This is the Stating the Obvious podcast, brought to you by Cynical Libertarian Society. So a theme song is playing right now. The song is You Know I'm Right by David Gilmour. I can't talk already. It's off his 1984 album, About Face, and Stating the Obvious is the weapons platform for which I launched the cruise missile of my intellect. It homes in on and it destroys stupid motherfuckers all over the world. Yeah, just blows your little fuckers up, man. Randy, notice my excellent mic technique. Notice how I'm gonna talk, but also notice how I'm not spiking the waveform. In the control room right over there is the lovely and adorable Randy. She is hanging out. And, oh, fine, Thunderbird, you can update. Good God, the computer in here is bothering me. It wants to update, Thunderbird. Ugh. What? Yes, I am updating software while recording the show. If it fucks up, it's all my fault. I'm fine with that. Okay. Yes, ma'am. Randy is bitch-slapping me. So let's talk about some stuff. I got a bunch of notes here. What was I going to start with? Let's talk some more about James Bond movies. Because there's some stuff I needed to mention. I've been watching all the James Bond movies. I'm still watching Die Another Day, the last of the Pierce Brosnan Bond movies. I have to say, so far, it's definitely one of the best. You know, it's always amazing when you look back at movies from years ago and you feel like, or, you know, because there's always the memory we have of a movie, right? Versus the real experience of the movie, or the current experience, or the experience in the now. I'm not explaining that very well, so let me say what I'm talking about. Like, I remembered having seen Ghostbusters many years ago, and I remembered it being this really great movie that was really funny. Then I watched Ghostbusters again, and it was an okay movie, but it really wasn't that funny. And I look at that and I wonder, what the fuck happened? And with the Bond movies, I mean, I think they were all as good as I remember them being because, I mean, they're James Bond movies. They're not Casablanca. They're not Maltese Falcon. They're not Raiders of the Lost Ark. They're not Gone with the Wind. They're James Bond movies. So as far as the plot and all that other stuff, you expect that. But what I seem to remember from the past was decent special effects. And what I can say from watching them, even this one, Die Another Day, which wasn't made all that long ago, some of the CGI and the green screen, well, I don't think it's CGI. I think it's green screen. I think it's all green screen. Some of the green screen is terrible. And it's amazing, too, because you look at other movies, like, for example, the movie I talk about all the time, because it is one of, well, I'll talk about two of them. The two greatest movies ever made, in my opinion. Other than Poltergeist, which is one of the greatest movies ever. If you haven't seen Poltergeist, you have to see that. That's poultry, as in chicken, and geist, as in poltergeist. Poltergeist. It is a brilliant, brilliant satirical farce on pretty much everything. It centers around fast food industry. When I first saw that movie, I watched it 5 times in 3 days. The other movie you have to see is God Bless America. Oh, absolutely, absolutely brilliant. I've only watched it once, but I watched that movie and the brilliance, the writing, the characters, the social statements, the satire. Oh, I mean, it's just lovely. Just fucking, just beautiful. So you have to see those two movies. The two greatest movies ever made are Raiders of the Lost Ark and Alien. And if I need to explain to you why these are the greatest movies ever made, then you obviously haven't fucking seen them. If you've seen those two movies and you don't recognize them as... You don't have to agree with me that they're the two greatest movies ever. But if you're not putting those in at least the top 20 movies you've ever seen in your life, and you've watched more than 100 movies, there's something questionable. There's something questionable about your brain. Alien is this beautiful character study of these people put into this situation, and there's no cavalry coming over the hill. And Raiders of the Lost Ark is of course, as soon as I learn how to talk, you know, I'm podcasting, it's not like talking is a skill that I actually need right now. Raiders of the Lost Ark is the distillation of everything that is the pulps. It's Doc Savage, and it's all of that whole genre put into this one movie. It's got the action, it's got the romance, it's got the adventure, it's got a great plot line, it's got a little bit of supernatural. I mean, it's got everything. Raiders of the Lost Ark, I mean, it is one of the greats, and thank God nobody has fucking remade it or redone it with fucking CGI bullshit added or anything else. Thank the fucking gods. All fucking, every single fucking god that ever was, ever is, and ever will be. Just please, if anybody ever fucks up Raiders of the Lost Ark, I hope they die. I hope they die slowly and painfully. Both of these movies, when you watch them, the special effects stand up really fucking well. And they were both made before the Bond movie Die Another Day. So what the fuck happened? Did the James Bond people not have the budget for decent green screen or what? Anyhow, let's move on past, because that was just kind of me talking into the Ethernet. The other thing I needed to mention that I forgot about the Bond movies is also the Timothy Dalton era was the era where they attempted to have James Bond only have sex with one woman per movie. Not sure who came up with that idea, but thankfully that died along with Timothy Dalton's version of James Bond. Meanwhile, in Die Another Day, we have... Now, I've been tracking all the hot Bond girls. And, of course, there was the blonde that Timothy Dalton had in Living Daylights. And then, of course, there was... what's her name? Jane Seymour as Solitaire back in Live and Let Die. Who she was, as I said before, she's absolutely gorgeous. Women don't look like that anymore. We'll talk about that in a little bit. This one has what might be the hottest Bond chick. If you want to call her a Bond chick, she's actually the bad guy, but Bond boinked her. So to be a James Bond girl, to be a Bond girl, does that mean you have to just have to be in the movie? Does it mean that Bond has to boink you Or does it mean Bond has to boink you and you have to be a good guy? I mean, I don't know. I don't really know what the formal definition of a Bond a chick is. But I'm going to say a Bond girl is any girl that Bond actually has sex with. So Miranda Frost, hottest Bond chick yet, in my opinion. She's right up my alley. This movie also features Halle Berry. Halle Berry, whatever the fuck you say her name. The girl who has kind of saggy titties and a haircut like an 8-year-old boy. Girls, stop cutting your fucking hair off. You look like 8-year-old boys. The only men who are attracted to women with buzz cuts are men who want to fuck 8-year-old boys. Now, I know you're going to get laid, but again, you got to remember, this shit like cutting your hair off and getting all the tattoos and the piercings and all this other self-mutilation of your body, this just sends a message to guys that, I mean, you're the kind of woman that they can fuck, but you're not the kind of woman they're going to keep. I'm just letting you know this. This is for your own good. I know you think I'm wrong, but ask yourself this. Do you have short hair? And are you getting married anytime soon? Here's something. Look at wedding photos online. Look how many women in their wedding dresses have buzz cuts. That might provide a little bit of evidence to you for what the fuck I'm saying. Now, I know what you're saying. You don't want to marry a man because men are all pigs and yeah. Well, that, you know, what? That's fine. As with everything that I talk about, whenever things are conditional, I always try to put that out there. And yes, this is conditional. If you want to be attractive to a man who is going to do more than dump you and pump you and might one day marry you, then you need long hair, you need to not have piercings, you need to not have tattoos. If you're just interested in getting dumped and pumped, then that's fine because you're sending the message that you are dumpable and pumpable, or pumpable and dumpable. You have to pump them before you dump them. Or as Too Short says, you find them, fuck them, leave them. No, find them, fuck them, feed them, and leave them. There you go. There's just so many options. Do you dump them and pump them? Do you pump them and dump them? Do you find them, fuck them, feed them, and leave them? Do you find them, feed them, fuck them, and leave them? I can't keep up with it all. Stop mutilating your bodies. Cappy Cap, Captain Capitalism, did a video. I think I linked to it, actually, in a previous edition of Stating the Obvious, not too far in the past, where he talked to women and said the same thing, you know, stop mutilating your bodies. And he said that belly button piercings are okay because it's not in a generally visible place. It's not often that I disagree with Cappy Cap, but he is absolutely full of shit. Belly button piercings are not okay. Belly button piercings are disgusting. They're fucking disgusting. I know you think they're hot. I know your girlfriends are telling you they're hot. Your girlfriends are telling you they're hot because your girlfriends, I've talked about this before, I'm going to talk about it more in the future, are trying to drag you down to their level. Your girlfriends want you to be uglier than they are so that you're not competing with them for men. So when some other bitch tells you, oh, your short hair looks great, or oh, your belly button piercing looks great, or oh, your nose piercing looks great, they're lying to you. They're telling you that so that you will be uglier. If you want to know, you find a man like me, someone who will be honest with you and tell you the truth and ask us. I'll fucking tell you. You cut your hair off. You look like a fucking 8-year-old boy. I'm not a pedophile. I'm not interested. Thanks. Actually, I'll fuck you, but I'm not taking you home to mom. I'm not buying you anything. You're not going to wake up. I'll fuck you, but when we're done fucking, you're going to leave. You don't even get to spend the night. If you have short hair, you're not even waking up at my place. I'm going to fuck you, and you're going to leave. If you want to be treated like a woman, you have to fucking look and act like a woman. And yes, this goes the other way. This goes for men, too. If man, you want to be treated like a man, fucking look and act like a man. Men, get the fucking the piercings, the tattoos. It's mutilation. It's self-mutilation, regardless of the gender of the person who's doing it. This one, men are not exempt from this at all, in any way, manner, shape, or form. I don't talk about men and tattoos and piercings because I'm not sexually attracted to men. I really don't give a shit. If other men want to make themselves ugly and less attractive to women And in this sense, this is where I'm just like the women. Well, sort of. Let me explain why I'm just like the women, but not. The women actively seek to drag each other down so that they can become, relatively speaking, more attractive. I do not actively seek to drag other men down so that I can become, relatively speaking, more attractive to women. But at the same time, I'm not going to stop men from dragging themselves down. Like if you're a man and I see you stuffing Cheetos in your mouth and getting tattoos, I mean, I might say to you, hey, guy, dude, if you want women, you should not be fat. You need to go to the gym and work out. And you need to not get all those fucking tattoos because that's disgusting. And the guy might listen or he might not. But if he doesn't listen, I'm not going to beat him over the head with it. I'm not going to follow him around. I'm not going to try to convince him. I mean, you get one shot. So I'm not going to stop other guys. And that's why I don't talk about, you know, this show. I'm sure a lot of the women out there, both of them, who listen to this show are saying, well, you never criticize men, blah, blah. Actually, I do. But I mostly don't because I don't give a shit. I like women. I want women to be better because that's my potential dating pool, if we want to call it that, companionship pool, fucking pool, whatever we want to call it. I want women to improve for my benefit because I'm a selfish bastard. And of course, I recognize that I have to improve in order to be worthy of women. And this is, I've talked about this before, the difference between men and women. Men understand that we have to do things to earn and deserve a good woman. Whereas you women don't seem to understand that you have to do things to earn and deserve a man. And self-mutilation is not one of those things. Now, let's talk about self-mutilization. Self-mutilization, that's a new phrase. I just made that up, mutilization. Not sure what it means yet, but when I think of what it means, I will let you know. Many of you out there, specifically those of you who are freaks, who are into tattoos and piercings, will tell me that this is not mutilization. Well, it is. What is the difference between sitting in the dark room and cutting yourself with a razor blade or laying in a tattoo parlor and having somebody else poke you with a needle? Aesthetically, there's perhaps a little bit of difference, but psychologically, it's the same fucking thing. Just as people who cut themselves are doing this because there are external forces in their life which they can't... I think it's because they can't deal with that. There's this inclination to say external forces they can't control, but we all have external forces we can't control. That's called life. But some people deal with this without engaging in self-mutilization. I said it again. Wow, apparently it is a word. Some of us deal with external forces we can't control without self-mutilizing. And some people don't. So I don't think it's simply that there's things beyond your control. I think it's that people who can't cope with things being on their control. There's so much whatever happening for whatever reason around them. They can't cope with the external, so they internalize it. And once it's internalized, they can affect it. They can harm it. They can control it because they can affect and harm and control their own bodies. Probably eating disorders has the same background as this. Right? You take external problems, you internalize them to your body, and then you do things to your body. You control your body, mutilate your body, affect your body in ways you can't do the outside world. I think it's exactly the same thing with the tattoos and the piercings. And the more tattoos and the more piercings, the more you're telling the people around you that you're psychologically damaged, and the more you're telling the people around you that you have no control over your life. The short hair is the same thing. For girls, anyway. The other thing about the body mutilation that drives me nuts is when people will say, well, I got this tattoo to remind me of my grandmother, or I got this tattoo to remind me of this, or I got, you know, this tattoo is Korean and it says live life wonderfully every day or whatever to remind blah blah blah. If you have to have a tattoo, if you need to have your body mutilated and defaced in order to remind you of something, then that something can't be very important. I mean, I can remember my grandmother. I don't need a fucking tattoo to do it. If you can't remember whatever it is you're trying to remember without body mutilation, it's probably not that important. So shut the fuck up. I'm going to do it, Randy. I'm going to do it. Hang on. No, wait. No, what? What is this? All right, it didn't crash and burn, but it's being stupid. Yep. All right. Oh, wait. I know what's wrong. Boom. There it is. Ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. We're, Randy and I are doing shit in here in the studio. Pay no attention to us. We are dumbasses. All right. Speaking of women, am I done with that? Not really. E.T. Williams, I've talked about him before on the show. E.T. Williams, he calls himself the Doctor of Common Sense. He's on YouTube and yet some other stuff on the internet. He's written a couple of books. He is a right-wing conservative, believes in God. He and I have a lot of differences of opinion, shall we say. But he's also very entertaining. I watch pretty much all of his YouTube videos because he is entertaining. And while I disagree with him about a lot of stuff, I agree with him about a lot of stuff also. And he actually did a video not, well, actually it was a long time ago because I'm way behind on watching videos. He did a video about what makes a real man. And I agree with everything he said except for the part about a real man is God-fearing, because I don't believe in fearing imaginary people. E.T. Williams, in one of his videos, brought something up. And this ties back into James Bond and Halle Berry and her 8-year-old boy haircut. How come is it that people who are half black, or a quarter black, or an eighth black, or whatever, how come they're always black? Like Obama, your Lord and Savior, the Messiah, the first affirmative action president, and the second coming of Jesus Christ. Your Lord and Savior is half black, right? His mother was white, his father was black. Why is he half black? Why isn't he half white? Right, when we talk, and E.T. pointed out, whenever you talk about these people, they always say, well, I'm half black, well, I'm a quarter black, well, I'm an eighth black. Why are they always on the black side? Why are they never on the white side? I just think it's because that minority status is too hard to turn down. I mean, after all, even if you're an eighth black, if anybody ever disagrees with you, you can start screaming about racism. What does that have to do with anything? Halle Berry, in addition to having the sex appeal of an 8-year-old boy with saggy titties, I think she's half black. Is she half? I don't know. Does she just look half black? Is she really half black? I don't know. I honestly don't give a fuck because I don't think it's that important in the scope of things. Because since I'm not a statist, I don't think people need to be categorized based on things like skin color. However, those of you who are statists, who believe in tolerance and diversity, you do believe that. So just throwing that out. Can we move on? Randy, can I move on? Talking about moving on, here's something I'd like people to move on from. A couple of weeks ago, pretty sure it was on Facebook, because that's where I see all the stupid stuff. Somebody posted a video that somebody made, yada, 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 showing all of the computer effects or something. I didn't actually watch the video. I should get that out there. I did not watch the video. So I only know what it's about from reading the description and looking at the thumbnail image for the video. Apparently it was about some girl making a music video and how they computer enhanced her in the video to make her more attractive. And it was the usual thing about, oh, look at all they're doing. This is outrageous. I just want to throw this out, people. Can we please, please, please stop with the fucking whining about how people in magazines and movies and television are photoshopped? It's like complaining that if you go outside in the rain, you get wet. When all of this first started many, many years ago, it was worth bringing up. But at this point, every person on every magazine cover, every person in every magazine picture, every person in every printed advertisement, every person on television, every person in the movie, all of these people in all of these situations are computer enhanced. It's just the way it is. And you can complain about it all you want, but you keep buying it. That's not a metaphorical buying, that's a literal buying. You keep buying Cosmopolitan magazine. You keep buying Modern Pride. You keep buying cable TV. You keep paying $20 per person to go to the movies. You keep funneling the money into all of these industries that computer enhance every fucking person you ever see. So will you just shut the fuck up if it offends you that much? Stop going to these movies. Stop buying the magazines. Stop watching the TV shows. Stop buying the shit that's advertised. I mean, as a photographer, I see these things, and maybe it's just that it's so obvious to me because I can recognize this shit. And the prevalence of it, because I get a photography magazine. And looking through there, some of the photography that is coming from these photographers who are super duper world class, or at least being shown as that. I mean, my God, some of these people that they photographed, the enhancement on them is just terrible. And they sell this software that allows you, there's numerous versions of this out there now, numerous different companies make this type of software, where you stick a person's picture in there and it can automatically enhance it. It like finds their lips and their nose and their jawline and their eyes and their eyebrows and all this other stuff. And you can manipulate this stuff, you know, make their face slimmer, and you can add makeup to them, and most of it just looks like shit. Oh my God, it looks so fucking terrible, because I've got the trial versions of a couple of these. If you use it very sparingly to smooth out skin, it can look okay, but you can go so overboard with it. But the point is, yes, the people on the magazine covers are photoshopped. The people in the movies are digitally enhanced. And as I've said before, pretty soon there will not be any people in movies because CGI is getting to the point where they're not going to need real actors anymore. I talked about this a while back. I watched a movie, I don't remember the name of it, but it was one of the Resident Evil movies. And it was entirely CGI. And the CGI was really fucking good. I mean, it was not indistinguishable from real actors, not by any stretch, but compared to what stuff I've seen before, compared to CGI things I have seen before, and the point too is this was Resident Evil movie. I'm sure they had some kind of a budget, but this was not, you know, James Cameron budget. This was not Steven Spielberg budget. This was a low budget movie, CGI. The CGI in this movie was amazing. The day is coming when there will not be real actors in movies anymore. It's all going to be CGI. And yes, the CGI characters will be digitally enhanced to make them more attractive. Speaking of more attractive, Randy, how are we doing on time?
Yes.
I like that. Thank you. You guys notice how mellow I am today? For anybody who's listening, if you're listening to this and this is the first episode of Stating the Obvious you've ever heard before, let me just let you know this is not how we usually roll. Normally I would be, you know, screaming, fuck you whore and suck my cock bitch and you all should all fucking die and I fucking hate statist and all this other shit. And I'd be like screeching at the microphone and spitting all over myself and everything and foaming at the mouth. And nah, not so much today. I guess because I've had some good productive days. Global warming has been kicking ass here in Fort Collins and dumping snow on us. So I've been mostly in the house for like 4 days doing work that I can do at home. I have to head out tomorrow and do actual work. At a location, oh God, it's going to be difficult. Oh, it reminds me, I got to check my schedule. Randy, where's my schedule book? There it is. I got to do that real fucking soon. Make sure I know where I'm supposed to be when I'm supposed to be there. All right. Oh, good God. I should have closed the email program. Oh, I love it. Old people and the internet. I love it. All right. Cameron Diaz. A while back, I read an article from about 2 or 3 years ago where Cameron Diaz, speaking of movies and computer enhancement, I read a short piece where Cameron Diaz was under attack because she was too muscular. Because she was more muscular than men who were in the movies with her. And the people were saying, nobody wants to see a leading lady who has bigger muscles than men. And of course, this illustrated, again, let's go back to this. So women, well, I don't know who it is. It's men. I don't know the names of the people complaining about this. I'm guessing it's women, though, because it's got to be women. It can't possibly be men. I've never heard a man complain that Cameron Diaz was too attractive and she should tone it down. This has got to be women saying, well, Cameron Diaz has too many muscles. She has more muscles than the men. She should stop working out. That's the femistatist perspective. As I said then and as I say now, no, if the men acting opposite of Cameron Diaz in a movie have a problem with her having muscles that are bigger than theirs, maybe they should go to the fucking gym a little more often. Now, don't expect Cameron Diaz to stop working out and being a sexy bitch because you're fucking fat and ugly. Well, no good deed goes unpunished. I said nice things about Cameron Diaz. And of course, the cunt betrayed me. So this came to my attention. When is this? This is Sunday, 19th of January, 2014. What's this website? This is from The Guardian. TheGuardian.com. In an unlikely about-face, Cameron Diaz has proclaimed that pubic hair is there for a reason, and to remove it is tantamount to saying, quote, I don't need my nose, unquote. This is odd, as just under a year ago, she cheerfully told Graham Norton a cute story about pinning an ungroomed friend in the shower and forcibly defuzzing her. Cameron Diaz forcibly removing the pubic hair from another girl in the shower. Okay, I just lost like 90% of the male audience. They're now masturbating. Or as the British would say, fapping. Right, isn't it fapping? Isn't the British who call masturbating fapping? I know a wanker is somebody who wanks. Wanker is a masturbator or wank. But I think fapping is also British slang for jacking off. Cameron Diaz is into body hair now. This article goes on, as usual, to blame. Now, what could be to blame for women? And let's go back to not that long ago when I talked about women. If you have a mustache and it's thicker than mine, you're not attractive. You need to wax your upper lip. You need to understand again. I know your girlfriends are telling you that a man should love you, even if you're fat, and even if you don't shave your armpits. And even if you have hair on your upper lip. I know the other girls are telling you that. I've explained this over and over and over and over. It's because the other girls want you to be uglier than them to reduce competition for men. I'm a man. I'm telling you, men do not want to fucking any more than pump and dump a chick with a fucking mustache. And if any man who has self-respect isn't even going to dump and pump you. Wax your fucking body hair. So what is to blame, according to The Guardian, this article, for women removing hair from their bodies? Well, take a wild guess. It's not that hard. It's the two things that are pretty much to blame for everything in our society. Pornography and capitalism, of course. Because, of course, women watch a lot of pornography. And because, of course, capitalism is, you know, geared towards basically selling shit to women, since women spend, depending on what studies you look at and how you define it and all this other shit, women spend anywhere from 60 to 80% of all the money spent. So in a way, I get the capitalism thing, and yet this whole shift and need to convince women that being hairy is okay is still just another part of the capitalism. They're still selling something, right? TheGuardian.com with this article about how body hair is great. Is selling advertising. I mean, they're putting this up here because they think people are going to read it so that people will see the advertising, so the advertising will be clicked on, so they'll make money. Capitalism can always be blamed for everything, and in a way, rightly so, because capitalism is to blame for everything. Because capitalism is people taking their money and their resources and trading it for things that they want, which is what people will always do. And the whole emerging cult of body hair that is surfacing in the femistatist movement Well, certainly there's selling things tied into this. Okay, so you're not selling people hair removal, and you're not selling them waxing, and you're not selling them razors and all this other stuff. But you're still selling them things. It's still about how can we bring these people into our camp where they're going to buy shit. Because if you're going to have, well, if you're going to have all this hair on your body, you're going to need more shampoo. Oh, wait, I forgot. Using soap and shampoo is also disgusting. So Cameron Diaz. Now, in all fairness, the article does not indicate that Cameron Diaz is in favor of mustaches and underarm hair and leg hair and all this other stuff. It only specifically indicates that she is now advocating pubic hair. So evidently that means she was bare or neatly trimmed, at least previously. I don't know. I honestly don't know the prior nor current condition of Cameron Diaz's lady garden. This girl I know, I'm friends with on Facebook, and somewhat friends with in real life. I haven't seen her in ages, but she's somebody I like. I don't mean like as in I want to dump her and pump her. I mean somebody that I like as in somebody that I like. She recently posted that she only now discovered what a lady garden is. Poor girl's like 23, 24 years old and just now found that out. All right. Yeah, that's enough bitching about Cameron Diaz. Let's move on. I did all that. I did all of this. Shut up about Photoshop. Yep, did it. Let's talk about this. Talking about capitalism ever so briefly. I'm going to have to talk about this more in the future. I'm running out of time. Imagine that. I will not be talking about economics and capitalism in this one. I'm reading Aaron Clary's, that's Captain Capitalism, Captain Cappy Cap. I'm reading Cappy Cap's book, Bachelor Pad Economics. I'm only in the first, like, two, I think I'm on chapter two, maybe chapter three, but you should get this book. Amazon.com. It's on, unfortunately, no, it is printed. There is a printed version, but I just bought the Kindle because I had bought a book that was only a I bought a book which was only available as a Kindle book, so I had to get Kindle software for my PC and all this other shit. And so since I bought that, I thought, all right, well, fuck, I'm going to buy Cappy Cap's book in Kindle. So I'm reading that. It's in paperback. It's really good. You should read it. The economics lessons that he presents at the beginning are absolutely fucking brilliant. And what he points out, and this is fantastic. I'm honest. I'm going to talk about economics. Somebody one time said, and I think it's Larry Wingate that said this, and I think that's who I got this from, but at some point I'm just going to Google it and try to find out. Somebody said this: all the money you will ever have in your life currently belongs to somebody else. That is one of the key economic understandings. If you want money, this is why I always talk about creating value for other people, right? If I want money, and we're assuming I'm not stealing the money or anything like that, that I'm exchanging, not exchanging, that I am engaging in the free market, or the market, as the freedom fiends like to call it. For me to engage in the market and to reap economic benefits, I have to exchange something of value for something of value, such as my time as a photographer for somebody's money, or my time as a website developer for somebody else's money, or my time as a podcaster for somebody else's bitcoins. Hint, hint, hint. If you go to the website, the Bitcoin address is on there that you can donate to. Help pay for my effing server to keep this on the air. So if you want money, you have to create value for other people, because all the money you're ever going to have, all the money I will ever have, anytime in the future, from this moment right now, for the money I have right now, I've got it. But every other fucking piece of money I will ever have in my life belongs right now to somebody else. And I have to do something of value for those people to get that money. Now, in Bachelor Pad Economics, Cappy Cap said something, he wrote something, that is right up there on par with that, and so brilliantly can enhance your understanding of economics if you internalize this. Money is, and I'm paraphrasing badly because I didn't look at the notes, I wasn't intending to talk about this. Money represents other people's time, and it represents your time. Money is, in a sense, a way of storing other people's time, because let's say that you come to me and you say, I can do task X for you and it's going to cost $10 an hour. Okay, if I have $100, I'm giving you that, I can give you that money, you can do task X, you can create value for me, and I'm giving you $100 for 10 hours of your time so that I don't have to spend 10 hours of my time doing what I'm paying you for. Or perhaps even more, because perhaps what you're doing for me involves not just the time to do this, but skill to do it. Let's say I am paying you to, I don't know, you're going to build a fireplace for me out of bricks. Now, I don't know how to lay bricks. I have no clue. I mean, I have some clue. That's not entirely true. But I don't know the ins and outs of it. I have no experience with it. I could go on YouTube and spend a few hours researching it. I could watch some tutorial videos, probably. I could learn things. I could read stuff. I could go to Ace Hardware and chat all day with somebody who knows about bricks and stuff because they love that stuff. That's why I love Ace Hardware. It's like that place just gives me orgasms because it's a fucking hardware store and I'm a boy. So there you go. It's like seeing Cameron Diaz in the shower with another cute girl getting naked. I mean, you know, it just makes you want to jack off. So yeah, hardware stores, fuck yes. But it would take me a lot longer than 10 hours to build this grill out of bricks. So when I give you the $100 and you do this for me, I have freed up my time. Now you've given me some of your time and you've given me value, and I've given you money in return. So money represents time. And as the Cappy Cap points out, time for all of us is finite because everybody's going to die. We all have more or less the same amount of time on the earth. And even if for those of us who have way more time than other people, we're still all going to fucking die. So your time is finite. And money is time. We've all heard that expression, time is money. The expression is, time is money. And I guess it is, but only in the sense that, as Cappy Cap points out, money is time. These really are, and this may sound like babbling to you, and that's fine, and on a certain level it is babbling, because like I said, I wasn't intending to talk about this. I'm going to talk about it more in the future, but these are brilliant economic understandings that you really need to get. All the money you will ever have in your life currently belongs to somebody else. Money is a way of storing time. Money is time converted into a format that you can trade. It's like Cappy says in the book. It's like, when you bought this book, you weren't just buying the computer file or buying the paper it's printed on. When you buy that book from the Cappy Cap, you're paying for the time he spent to write the book. He took his time, he converted it into a book. He converted his time into something which creates value for other people. And then you, I, us, as people buying his book, are giving us money in return for his creation of value for us and the time it took him to do that. So, I mean, this is the key. This is what you've got to understand if you want to understand it. And all this shit about economics is about interest rates and taxes and understanding L block corporation. No. None of that shit has anything to do with economics. That's regulations. That's the state. That's the government. That's corporatism. That's capitalism, as many people call it, which I agree with. Capitalism is a good term to distinguish capitalism from crony capitalism, from what I typically call it corporatism or capitalism. All of that stuff is just pure fucking horseshit. I mean, that's all you need to understand economics. All the money you will ever have in your life belongs to somebody else. Money is a way of storing and transferring time, which is a finite resource. If you just create value for other people, they will give you their money. And when they give you their money, they are giving you their time and they're allowing you to control how you utilize your time, which you should not utilize your stored time to mutilate your body by getting tattoos and piercings, or if you're a girl, cutting your hair really short. So don't do it, okay? Just stop it, girls. Stop it. Fuck, I do not understand. Why? What is wrong with you girls that you keep cutting your fucking hair? All I know is wrong with you. It's called feminism. Stop it. Stop it. Return of Kings is having traditional values week or something. What the fuck is it? Traditional... shit. Traditional gender roles, I think is what it's called. They're having a theme week over at Return of Kings. I'm always right. So yeah, there it is. Fuck. That's pretty mellow, huh, Randy? And I didn't hardly get off track that much. I also didn't get anything from the pile on the floor. It'll happen soon. I've been really productive. Wait, I have! What the fuck are you talking about? I've been way productive. I've been so productive that I've had to freaking remind myself to eat food the last couple of days. I have banged out some pretty serious shit. And I'm nothing about girls. I've banged some girls, but not in the last few days because I've been working. I've been creating value for other people so that they would give me money so I could store up some time because I understand economics. Bachelor Pad Economics by Captain Capitalism. Available on Amazon.com, paperback, or Kindle. Get it. You will not regret the money you spend.